Welcome everybody to the 4130 show. My name is AJ Gretz. I'm the lead pastor here at South Granville Church. With me, as always, my good friend Benjamin Netz.
Wow, full name there. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mom.
Hey, you're welcome. We are glad that you're with us for another week. We're continuing our series in Acts this week, and today we're going to be kind of referencing all of chapter 3, although we'll read a short chunk from the beginning. Ben, before we start, we're reading a miracle story this week, and we're reading a story about healing, and I'm curious for you, as just a guy sitting in a chair reading the Bible, when you come across stories like this, what's your kind of first reaction? Do you tend to bring a skeptical perspective, or do you find it pretty easy to just roll along with this and say, yep, that's what happened, and I'm totally into it? What's your experience?
I would say the second part of that. I think partially because I've grown up with Bible stories my whole life. Hmm. They've been pounded into me. It's just something I think about or don't think about. It just kind of is, yep, blind man, now he sees. Good. Mm-hmm. Couldn't walk, now he walks. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not an intellectual thing for you so much, or a challenging thing?
I think it's becoming more of that the older I get.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have a theory about why that would be the case?
I'm getting smarter.
Oh, there you go.
No, I think you start, when you get more experience in life, you start to question things. You mm-hmm. see more things, experience more things, and you start to wonder why. And so you have a different mindset when you're reading things.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to me. I would actually say something similar. So my own background, I grew up in church, but then kind of wasn't in church for a while. And so I don't know. I think when I came back, I was able to just kind of make peace with a lot of those struggles or those questions that I had. And I don't tend to spend a lot of time wondering whether or not these things really happened. I do wonder sometimes why we don't experience more of this in the American church. And I actually probably feel a lot more skeptical about contemporary stories of healing or, something that seems quote unquote miraculous. I tend to find myself really questioning that or wondering about that. But as far as reading scripture, it doesn't seem to bother me that much.
Yeah, it's interesting how we can hear a story on the news about something. We start thinking, did that really happen that way? What was going on there? But then we read it in scripture and we're like, yep, totally.
Yeah, in this book that's 2,000 years old, written by a bunch of different people. I have no problem with that. Yeah.
Right.
That's an interesting, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting quirk maybe of our perspective as modern Americans. I don't know.
I think we need a guest on the show to give us perspective someday.
I agree.
Okay.
So, Ben, why don't you read part of chapter 3? If you haven't read this or you weren't in church this week, this is a story about Peter and John, two of the disciples, and they walk into the temple and they see a man who's born unable to walk. And so Ben's going to kind of read their interaction that they have.
Sure. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. He then went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
So if you missed the sermon this week, we're reading the story and thinking about what it means to believe in the miraculous as people of God. We kind of read this as an example of the kind of miracles God does throughout the book of Acts. And as people who believe in him today in 2019, we have to kind of figure out how to make sense of stories like this. So we looked at a couple of different things about the story. We saw that this miracle that Peter and John do is really meant to be a sign of who Jesus is. And if you read through the rest of chapter 3, Peter and John end up having a crowd around them, and it gives them a chance to explain that this is what Jesus has come to do, that just as this man has experienced physical healing, so Jesus is going to bring healing to people from their sins and really to all of creation over the curse of sin. But then we also talked about how we have this tension as people of faith, that on one hand, We believe that God is capable of doing miraculous, seemingly impossible things. And yet at the same time, we know that it doesn't always happen, that sometimes we pray prayers and hope, big hopes, and yet God chooses to do something different. And so we, as people of God, have to make sense of that and figure out how we can both make room for stretching our faith and believing that God can do these things, and yet also accepting that in his sovereignty, sometimes he won't. And that doesn't mean he's not faithful or that he doesn't love us, which is a hard thing. But I think overall for us, and especially for our kind of tradition that has historically been very rational and very intellectual in a lot of ways, I think it's good for us to be stretched and to think about what it means to take a risk and ask God to do something that might seem impossible to us. And so, Ben, one of my questions for you this week is we're thinking about how we can rely on God's power more, how we can maybe look to God's power more and do that more willingly. And I guess I'm curious if there are situations where you're tempted to try and solve problems on your own, or maybe times where you think, boy, why didn't I pray about that? I did everything else and I kind of did everything under my own strength first. And then when it didn't work, I started to pray. When are you kind of most tempted to put stuff on your own shoulders?
I would say almost all the time, whether it's just work ethic or bad habit. You know, going to God first definitely should be something I'm working towards in my daily life, but it just isn't. We get so bogged down with so many things. We've talked about this a couple times on the other show about how busy life gets. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly in that mode of what's the next thing to fix or the next thing to solve or who to pick up from what game or where to go. And sometimes you sit there and think, gosh, there's just nothing I can do about this. If I sit long enough and think of it, I'll find the answer. But that's not really what we should be doing. We should be taking that time to pray.
Yeah, you get into a mindset where you're just used to fixing things, solving things, making things happen. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you run into a situation where you're like, I can't do it. And for most of us, I think the instinct is to just put your head down and try harder.
Right.
And I think those are moments that God is trying to get our attention. Say, wait a minute, I rule the world and you don't, even though many times you start to believe that you do. I'm the one who's in control.
Right.
I think that's true. I also think sometimes we don't think what we're going through is worthy of God's attention. And maybe that keeps us from reaching out a bit more, praying more. So I'm thinking about a friend of mine who once had to give a presentation and speak in front of a pretty good sized crowd. And she was dealing with a cold and, you know, it was kind of an uncomfortable thing. And I remember her saying like she had prayed about it, but then she also wondered if God really cared when, you know, people are hungry and dying and dealing with much bigger problems. And there was something about that that always kind of struck me as feeling wrong, that, you know, yeah, there are bigger problems, but that doesn't mean God doesn't care about your problems, you know? And I think we sometimes think that what we're going through just doesn't matter that much when it matters because it's part of our life, part of our circumstances.
Yeah. One of those first world issues, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think it's healthy to have perspective and say, yes, I'm not dying and my fridge is full, but, you know, a problem is still a problem. And if you've got a calling or a job that you need to do, I think God cares about you being able to do it well.
Right. And he didn't put any stipulations in the Bible to say, here's how to gauge your needs.
Yeah.
He said, bring them all to me.
Right, right. There's no scale of 1 to 10. Of
like, right,
yeah.
Right.
If it's a 6 or less, don't bother me. I'm very busy. Yeah. So Ben, we're going to wade into some pretty deep waters for a moment. One of the questions that I wondered about was what you might say to somebody who had prayed for healing or for an experience of God's provision and yet didn't see the outcome or the results that they were hoping for. How do we respond to that as Christians? And what can we do to come alongside somebody who's going through that and maybe asking some very deep questions about where God is in the midst of pain or suffering?
Yeah, wow. That is a deep question. Let's go on to the next one, please.
That's fair.
I could probably give you a better answer of saying what I wouldn't say.
Sure. Yeah, that's helpful.
Things like, maybe God has a bigger purpose that's unknown to us.
Hmm.
Or maybe that person didn't have enough faith.
Hmm.
I think in times like that, it's okay to not have an answer. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think the reason why people say stuff that ultimately isn't that helpful sometimes is because they're uncomfortable, feeling uncomfortable or feeling unsure about how to make sense of a situation. And so we try to put it in these neat categories. And when the categories fall apart, we just start saying stuff to try to make sense of it. And so, yeah, statements like, you know, God just needed another angel or something like that can be so hurtful and destructive. And I think you're right, too, that there's no reason to assume that it's a person's fault that, you know, if they had just been a more faithful Christian or prayed with different words or something, that then the genie would have answered their wish. You know, that's not really how God works either. But I think you're right that you can kind of put some parameters around what not to do, but then ultimately it's still hard to figure out how to make sense of that.
For sure.
And so I think just being present is really helpful. I think showing people that God has not abandoned them, and that they can see that when the family of God hasn't abandoned them, you know, when we are consistent in each other's lives, sometimes that can speak volumes more than a question or a well-formed theological statement would.
All right, AJ, this last Sunday, we heard a very well-known story from the Bible about the lame man being able to walk again. And I'm sure there's more to that story that we didn't hear all of on Sunday. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a number of different things that could be said about this story in particular. I think there's another sermon in there that just is meant to be an encouragement and kind of a reminder that God is interested in healing people, that both as a sign of who Jesus is and what he's going to do by kind of restoring all of creation, but also just out of his love for you and for me, that when there's things that are broken and not working, God is interested in healing. And that might be physical, that might be spiritual and emotional. And that might mean kind of resolving an issue, or it might mean giving you, you know, grace and endurance to kind of bear with it and handle it in a better, healthier way. But I think people need to hear and just be reminded that God is interested in healing, that God is interested in taking what's kind of wrong and making it right.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that our church is really going to be trying hard at, is getting that message out about how God really is interested in you.
Yeah, that goes back to, you know, what my friend had said, where we sometimes think that our problems are too insignificant, or that, you know, what I'm going through is not really that big of a deal, and God probably doesn't care, doesn't have the time to care. But that couldn't be farther from the truth, that God knows you and your circumstances. He knows what's going on with you, and he cares. He wants to see you get healthier. And by that, I mean, you know, having a life that's more reflective of Jesus and his character, and more in line with how he created you to live.
So when we talk about God wanting to heal people in different ways, does that mean that we should just pray a lot, pray more, pray harder, and not go see a doctor? Or do we seek the things that are out there that can help us?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. You know, if I'm struggling with allergies, it's really nice for you to offer to pray for me. But if you've got Allegra in your pocket, I hope you would give me one too, right? I think one of the strengths of our tradition is that we believe God is active in all these different ways in the world, and that people have gifts and experiences to use in service to others. So, you know, if everyone's job is really a kind of ministry, then I think we should hold up the work that doctors and physical therapists and counselors and therapists that they do, because I think that's a way that God brings healing. You know, I think you and I have both had experiences of going to the doctor and we did what they said and we got better,
right?
You know? So I don't think that should be an exclusive thing. Nor should we be afraid to pray for those who are serving in those occupations to say, I hope God makes you the very best doctor or the very best counselor that you can be. Because if I need to see you at some point, I'd hope that you're at the top of your game.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us here today at the 4130 show. If you'd like to find out more about our church or our podcast, hit us up on our website. It's southgranvillechurch.org/podcast. You can listen to all our episodes there. And we also are now on iTunes and Spotify. So
we're a real podcast.
We're a real thing now.
Yeah. And if you're able to leave a review, that's helpful for us. That helps people find the show. And again, we want to encourage you, if you find this beneficial, to share it with friends, put it on Facebook. This is a way that we want to help people get a window into what we're doing here at South Granville Church.
For sure. And if you'd like to email us any suggestions or questions or comments about the show, it's the4130show@southgranvillechurch.org. The end.
Do, 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 do. Clap on.